You may not be aware of this, but this week is Baby Loss Awareness Week in Ireland. But if you've been affected by this, this week is an important week to seek support and talk with people who've been through the same traumatic experience. And we wanted to highlight this on the show today for several reasons, to let parents know that there is support out there and that it's good to talk about it and share your story with other people. In just a moment, I'm going to be talking to a lady called Aoife, who is involved in a support group for bereaved parents called A Little Lifetime. Aoife and her husband Derek have three children and their angel Rory. I'm going to find out about Aoife's story in just a moment. But if you've been affected by this, obviously as a parent, one of the big, greatest fears that a parent would have is anything happening to their child. And for some parents who have gone through that and have lost a child, it's very difficult to deal with because it's not the natural course of events. It's not the way things are meant to be. You're not meant to bury your children. Your children are meant to bury you. So that makes it all the more difficult. And one of the things that I've been learning is when it comes to the death of particularly a young child or a stillborn child, people don't talk about it. And I'd love to, if you've been affected by this, I'd love to hear from you on 6797981. Aoife joins me on the line. Aoife, good morning and welcome to 98 FM.
Thanks so much, Adrian. Good morning.
Baby Loss Awareness Week is something that a lot of people wouldn't even be aware of because if they haven't lost a baby, then it wouldn't even be on their radar. But when you're in that situation, you realise, I'm sure you have, Aoife, realised so many other people have been affected in the same way. Tell me your story about your little boy that you describe as your angel, Rory.
Thanks so much. So Rory, he was born the day after me, actually, on the 8th of March in 2016. We always sort of say that he was kind of trying to gatecrash my birthday, right. Because my water broke on my birthday. He lived for 7 short weeks, and he spent the last week of his life in hospital, and he died in Temple Street following a short illness. So he was first of all in Our Lady of Lourdes in Drogheda, and then he was transferred to Temple Street, where he died in our arms on the 27th of April. So he would have been five now in this year, and he would have been starting school in September, just gone out. So I know for maybe a lot of bereaved parents listening that that's a huge part of their grief journey when they hit those milestones and they don't have their baby with them. So they're really, really hard times.
Do you mind me asking what happened to him? What did he die from?
So Rory died from pneumonia, pertussis, or whooping cough. So that's what he presented with, and he was surviving fine on oxygen in Drogheda, so they would never have transferred him over to Temple Street because he was surviving quite well. And then he took a turn on the Tuesday morning. That's when he was transferred over to Temple Street. So that's when kind of the bereavement counselor with A Little Lifetime, he describes it as a bomb going off in your life, and that's really what it is. But you never lose hope. You think, oh, he's going to go to Temple Street, he's going to survive, but there was nothing that they could do for Rory at that stage. And they had tried everything. So it is every parent's worst nightmare. You never think it's going to happen to you. And I suppose Rory's journey was a little bit different. A Little Lifetime Foundation supports parents whose baby dies at or around the time of death. And Rory was a little bit further on in his story. So I reached out to, I did counselling with Derek, my husband, in Temple Street. And when that kind of finished up, I felt I still, you know, I wasn't finished. I didn't feel I was ready, really. And I still felt, I wasn't ready to maybe go back to work. I didn't feel strong enough yet. I needed more help. So I reached out to Little Lifetime and I joined one of their parent support groups. And I also saw Dr. Peter Hanlon, our bereavement therapist, individually. And he was such a great help. And a Little Lifetime will give you hope, because when your baby dies, you really, things get quite dark and you don't really think you can go on. Like, I never thought I'd sleep again, close my eyes again. Every time I closed my eyes, I saw him. I relived every moment in the hospital. I remember even ads on the telly. I couldn't even watch telly because there'd be ads for, you know, wipes or nappies, and there'd be babies staring at you on the television. Another part of when you lose a baby is, I suppose, wanting another baby or seeing other people pregnant. Like, I couldn't go, you know, anywhere without seeing. Everyone seems to be pregnant when you, after you lose your baby. Your baby dies, everyone seems to be pregnant, and that's really, really hard. I think people as well, there's an assumption out there that, you know, another baby fixes things, and it doesn't. You know, your rainbow baby doesn't replace your baby that died. And I think that's as well the biggest fear for many bereaved parents, is that people will forget their baby. Because
that's what I was going to ask you, because one of the things that a lot of people seem to kind of skirt over the issue, and I they don't know what to say, and I know I'm probably guilty of having done that myself at one stage or another, where it comes to either a stillbirth or a parent losing a child like you do or you did. It's very difficult to talk about for other people.
It is, and people are totally, you know, they're thrown every time. I know we have a picture of Rory in our house, and I know people have come in and they're like, they do get thrown. I can see it in their faces. They're like, you know, what's the picture of the dead baby doing on the wall, you know? And he's part of our family, he's part of our life.
And have people actually said that to you?
No, but I can see it in their faces, Adrian. I can, you know, and I can read them, you know, and I don't, it's not an unfair thing to do. Like, it's natural to be shocked and to think, you know, how can she talk about him? Or even when he comes up sometimes in conversation, you know, or I mention Rory, they are in shock, or, you know, that question. Yeah. A lot of bereaved parents talk about this as well, is when people ask, you know, how many children do you have? It depends on the situation. You know, how many children will I say I have? Do I say I have four, or do I have three?
What answer do you give?
It does always depend on the situation. Generally, I say three, and I do keep Rory's kind of memory in my head, but it depends on the situation. At one time, it was Rory's second birthday, and I was going in to buy a balloon in the balloon shop for his grave. We let off a balloon at his grave every year, and I had our second baby, Elizabeth, with me in the sling, and the lady in the shop kept asking, because I was, you know, buying a two-year-old balloon and I had a baby, and she kept asking, and where's the other, you know, where's the other children? Where's Anna? And, you know, I was getting more and more upset, and then I just blurted it out, and then she didn't know what to say. She just kind of, you know, and that wasn't fair of me either, probably, because, you know, I shouldn't have said that. But, you know, you do, that is a great fear for bereaved parents, is that people will forget their baby, or making memories. And that's why I suppose a Little Lifetime Foundation is such a great support, because you can go and talk with other parents that really, really get it.
And like I said in my introduction, you don't realise how many people are in this sort of situation until you are in this sort of situation.
Absolutely. Approximately 500 babies die every year at or around the time of birth. Then there's lots of different, like, each story is difficult and complex. You know, some parents receive a difficult diagnosis, a fatal fetal abnormality diagnosis, and then they have the impossibly difficult decision whether they're going to continue with the pregnancy or not. Some do, some don't. And then before, you know, their laws were changed in Ireland, that wasn't an option for people at all. So there is, we have a specific dedicated group within a Little Lifetime for parents who do receive that diagnosis. We also have a group for, you know, parents who lose a twin, which is another kind of story or avenue. We also have a group for women for pregnancy after loss. You know, it's really difficult being pregnant again after your baby dies, because you're so afraid. You're thinking, is this going to happen to me again? There's lots of added anxiety. Sometimes that kind of lovely excitement of pregnancy is nearly taken away from you, because you, you kind of feel guilty for being happy. That's a big thing in the death of a baby, allowing yourself to be happy again, which you will be. That's really, really hard to do sometimes. We also have a group for dads only, which is really, really important, because many dads are sometimes, they feel a little bit forgotten about,
yeah.
Yeah, definitely, because, you know, everyone always asks, how's your wife, how's your partner, how's your girlfriend? They don't, it's very, very, not very often that they ask about them. They're the ones that maybe go back to work quicker. They are holding the whole show together. They're minding maybe, if there are surviving children, they're minding the surviving children. So sometimes they don't, you know, get a chance to, and they're there as a comfort for their partner so much, and they don't get a chance to grieve themselves.
Maybe. You've obviously, Aoife, found a little Lifetime Foundation to be of a great help to you.
Yeah, I did from the very start. You know, they're from the individual counselling with our bereavement therapist to the group kind of setting, and I was very daunted by that. You know, Derek would drive me. That was often, you know, his job. He'd drive me, which was brilliant, and he felt kind of part of it, but he didn't go in with me. But it was hard going in, you know, sitting around the table that first time. You know, but once you cross that hurdle, I think you will find a lot of solace and really hope, you know, that you can come out the other side of this, that there are other women who, you know, those dark feelings that you feel and that you, no one else really understands, they really get it, you know, and you can say out loud, you know, how sad you are, you know, how angry you feel. Guilt is another huge thing for bereaved parents, so it's really important, I think, to talk about those feelings, get them out in the open and validate it, that it is okay, but you're not losing your mind, you know, this will get better. And they also do lovely creative workshops, which is another part of the services we provide. So women generally, and they come together and they might do flower arranging, create a nice arrangement for either around their house or for their baby's grave. We also do patch making. So Little Lifetime have a beautiful patchwork quilt, and you create a square with your baby's name and their birthday and anniversary, and that gets added to the big quilt, or you can frame one as well. So,
and let me ask you, Aoife, you subsequently, after little Rory left this world, you went on then to have two more little girls.
I did, yeah.
How difficult or otherwise was that?
It is hard, because I had a miscarriage then after Rory, and I had a miscarriage before Rory as well. So we have Louis, then I had a miscarriage, then we had Rory, then I had another miscarriage, and then we had Elizabeth. So I remember when I had the second miscarriage, I was like, you know, you do think of everything, and you think like, who, no one is doing this, you know, but you think like, who's doing this to me? You know, you really do feel like that, but I know it's not like that, but I couldn't kind of maybe see that at the time. And, you know, people really don't know what to say. When I had the second miscarriage, I think they were really, really, you know.
And in terms of the other kids, how do you talk about Rory? How is that conversation? Because I know two of your children are like 3 and 1, so they might be a little bit old, but say your older boy.
Yeah, Louis was at Rory's funeral. He was 2 and a half when he died. So they say that children are, like, as adults, we're in kind of a river of grief. You know, we're always in it, kind of, especially in the early days. And then sometimes you might get to the banks, you know, where you get kind of dragged up by your support system, your family, your friends. But children are in little puzzles of grief, so they jump in and out really, really quickly. So we could be driving, say, to football, and we'll pass we can see the post, and the grave is right beside the football field. So Louis will often say, and that's where Rory is.
Right.
I remember one time when
Sorry to cut across you, because I have a lady I want to go to in a second, but Rory will always be part of your family, and that's an important part of your children growing up as well, is that right?
Yeah, definitely, he always will. I mean, we have a picture of him here. Louis asks more as he gets older, he's 7 now, so he is asking more about it, and the finality of death does come in a little bit more, because he said to me there the other day, like, will he always be in the box on the ground, you know? So it's the way a child talks, whereas when Rory first died, he would say to me, who am I going to play tractors with now? You know, so it will come up again. Yeah.
But again, Rory will always be part of the family, and that's very important in terms of including him in conversation and all of that.
Absolutely.
Do me a favour, Aoife, stay there for 1 second, because I wanted talk to Katie. And Katie, listening to Aoife's story, you can so relate to that. You lost your little boy at a very young age back in 2009.
Yeah.
Tell me about little Caden.
Well, first I just want to give my condolences to that girl. So my heart is breaking for her and for little baby Rory. Caden was born in 2008. Perfectly healthy little boy. I won't go too much into it anyway. He just stopped feeding for me one day. I got really, as the mother's instinct does, took him to hospital, and he was admitted. And after a couple of months, we found out he had a brain tumour. So, I won't go into too much, but anyway, he ended up getting his operation, which he thought he was going to be perfectly fine. You never think for 1 second your child has gone through the IUD. He was fine after, and he had a stroke that night and died then 3 days later in 2009. Yeah.
And can I ask you, Katie, hearing this conversation coming up on the radio obviously brings that straight back to you, probably never leaves you.
Oh God, no! Like, I mean, that happened to me. Caden would have been 12 now. I understand it was a bit recent, but it never goes away, never leaves you. It's like you wake up every single day; they're on your mind, and some days more than others. Some days you sort of can't let it define your day. Everything that she's saying, lucky enough I had it. Well, not lucky enough, as she's saying about having a rainbow baby. People think, oh, you have to have another baby and you're going to be perfectly fine, but that doesn't take away
It doesn't replace the child that she's lost. And let me ask you, all these years later, you say Caden would be 12 now. Do you celebrate his birthday every year?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, and do you go to his grave for his birthday?
Oh, yeah, well, I've had 3 kids since I lost Caden. So, for instance, my 3-year-old thinks that because he's buried in Dardistown, that he lives on the airplane. So,
wow.
You know,
I'm going to tell you something very bizarre. I was waiting to see if you said Dardistown, okay? I know exactly where your son's grave is, and I've seen it, and I've actually stood at it, and I have thought of the parents that lost that little boy, and I've seen his photograph on the grave, and I know exactly where it is. So how about that for a coincidence?
Lot of people do, without going into the politics, was the whole, you know, what I'm talking about. And in lockdown, I had 2 girls since I lost Caden, and in lockdown, I gave birth to another baby boy, which has been very hard. As probably a mother can understand, having 2 girls would have probably made it a bit different. He's 5 months now, and he's the image of one, which it's not going to, it can never replace.
Well, look, Katie, I really appreciate you sharing that with us. And like I said, because I know somebody buried very close to where Caden is buried, I've seen his grave, and I've often thought about you. So, though I don't know you from Adam, so there's an awful coincidence, but there you
go. And just if you could pass me on the details of that organisation.
That's exactly what we're about to do. They're called A Little Lifeline, and A Little Lifetime, should I say, and their website is alittlelifetime.ie. And Aoife, that's the best place to start if you want to find out more, is to go to the website.
It is. Find out more on the website, info@alittlelifetime.ie. Also on our Facebook page, our Twitter, you can direct messages there. All the Facebook groups are closed. There's a public page, but then there's about 7 different groups. So you can send us a message. You know, there's the usual little questions to get accepted into the group, and then you can post there. It's quite active, and especially this week during Baby Loss Awareness Week, we've lots of ideas on how to different ways you can remember your baby, because they're probably at the, you know, really to the forefront of your mind this week. Like your previous caller, Katie, said, they never leave your mind, but you do learn to find a space for them a little bit further back, as I say. Sometimes they're like right at the front, but other times they're kind of right a little bit further back, and you do learn.
And with somebody like Katie, it's never too late to get involved in a little lifetime. Despite the fact that her son died in 2009, it's of use to everybody, I assume.
Absolutely. Mm. I mean, we've women who do the workshops, in particular the creative workshops, who lost their baby like 20, 30 years ago, when, again, that's a whole different conversation again, when it was never talking about it and they never saw their babies again.
Okay, well, once again, the website is alittlelifetime.ie, and if you want to get involved, now is as good a time as any, and we are highlighting Baby Loss Awareness Week. Eve, I really appreciate you talking to us and highlighting something that doesn't get talked about. And as we could hear from Katie there, it never leaves you. And I really appreciate you talking to us this morning. Thanks very much indeed.
And thank you for giving us the opportunity. Thank you so much.
Once again, the website is alittlelifetime.ie.